Let me make these have to be off.
Oh, okay. This one too?
All of them. The monitors cause feedback. Amen. Yeah, that was a journey. That all the way to today. I mean, I've had the most joyous days these past 2 days of getting to see my miracle. Because I believed with all my heart. And it had its climbs, it had its ups, and it had its downs. And it's up, and you have that hope, and you want. And you're asking and you're interceding and you want to make sure you're doing everything he's prescribed to make it work because you're thinking of the life of somebody else. This is my responsibility. This is my duty. That's what I'm here for. This is what I learned this for because I want to keep praying and trying and doing everything that I can to keep myself right, that my prayers will be an incense, a fresh incense to him. Because he says certain people's prayers are an abomination to him. Those who do wrong or approach him in the wrong way. Like Aharon's sons approached him the wrong way and they died for it. You can't approach God any kind of way you want to. And so he had to make sure that I had to make sure that I was trying and doing it right. And when it went downhill, I was like, man, what did I do wrong? Maybe my prayer wasn't right. And you start getting down and grieving and you're trying to figure out where you went wrong. And then finally you get that a little bit of hope, and it gets a little bit more, and you heard the text messages, and it gets better, and it gets better, and now we got more of a hope, and he says, I'm coming fishing, I'm going through rehabilitation, and all, I'm like, you're going to come fishing, and we talked about it, and then here we are, and I enjoyed 2 days, and we laughed more than you can imagine. We had this bull shark yesterday taking some of our bull reds. I said, we're going to hook it up. We're going to hook it up to where we got a steel leader, and we're going to catch him and show him who we all about. And today we went out there, and it took a couple of our bull reds. We hooked that leader up, put that piece on there, and we caught him. He's about 180-pound to 200-pound bullnose shark. He pulled for a while. And the whole time I'm just looking at him, I'm like, this is a miracle. My brother's here with me today. And I praise you, Father. I thank you so much for what you've done. I thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. And so we had a blast the past 2 days. Awesome. And so now here we are. And now, so just thinking about that, when you might be in your lowest state of mind, or maybe you've had a long day. Like today, I had a little bit of a long day. And when I got home today, open up to Psalms 119 in your Bibles right now. Just open it up. While you open up the Psalms 119, in our Torah portions, we're understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes, what he likes and what he doesn't like. And our Torah portion is Baha Alaka, and it's Hebrew for when you ascend. And we talked about Aharon. He would go up, and the menorah was up high, and he would have to trim the wicks and get all the oil right so it'll be burning, so it would light up the showbread, the table of showbread, the 12 tribes of Israel, and you had to have light in the room, and it was up high. So that's why it says, Baha Alaka, is you ascend. He would ascend up to go take care of the menorah to light it up. So we talked about the oil in the lamps is like the Word of God, the Torah. When we read this Torah, we're going to read Psalms 119, you should automatically start feeling life come into you. You start seeing light, life. You start feeling strength and energized. Because when we came to Christ and we was born again, remember, Yeshua is the living Torah. Amen. He's this in the flesh. He lived it to the fullest. That's why he was raised from the dead. Death couldn't hold him because he was all this of the Torah, of what it is and what it says. He was life and he was light and there was no darkness in him at all. And so that's what it represented. Whenever we read this, we get in life in us. We put an oil in our lamps to keep our lamps burning. We also talked about our life is in whose hands? In our own. It says your life is in your hands. As many people today say, hey, my life is in God's hands. Well, that's kind of broad, because just because you're going about your business and you just say, you know, God's going to take care of me, God's going to do this, but you don't do nothing for yourself, don't expect nothing to happen, because your life is in your hands. What you put in your mouth with your hands, you do. Nobody shoves it in your mouth. You do it yourself. You take care of your life. Your life is in your hands. So it's our responsibility to get up every morning. When we were born again and came to Christ, He's the living Torah. He came into our hearts. We got cleansed from all unrighteousness. We started reading the Torah and we come alive. But we got to do it on a daily basis. Because why? We're in a dark world. There's darkness all around us. He says, you are the light of the world in this dark world. And so the oil is just like the Torah. To keep these burning, you got to keep oil in here. To keep this man alive under Messiah, I got to get up in the morning and I got to talk with him and pray and read the Torah and put oil in. And in the afternoons, when I get tired, this is what I do. Okay, y'all there in Psalms 119? Aleph, blessed are the perfect in the way who walk in the Torah. I'm learning something here. Who walk in the Torah. Blessed are those who observe his witnesses. Who's his witnesses? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Is it bringing it back to your remembrance? Who seek him with the whole heart, all the heart. Yes, they shall do no unrighteousness. They shall walk in his ways. You have commanded us to guard your orders diligently. Oh, that my ways were established to guard your laws. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commands, I thank you with the uprightness of heart. When I learn the right rulings of your righteousness, I guard your laws. Oh, do not leave me entirely. So all of a sudden you find yourself, you're talking to Yehovah. You're talking to God. You're telling him, hey, please don't leave me entirely. I had a long day today. I need to feed on your word. I need some more oil in my lamp. So I'm reading Psalm 119, and he's filling me back up. He's giving me light. He's giving me life. And I'm getting strengthened and energized. The darkness is leaving me, and the light is coming into my life again. You got to do this day and night, because that's what the Torah says. He meditates on my Torah, on my commands, day and night. When you rise up in the morning and before you go to bed at night. And so you keep reading this. I'm not going to read it all, but I read this all 3, 4, maybe 5 times this evening, and it just energized me. And I'm saying, Father, thank you. Anything that's on me that shouldn't be on me, remove it. And I thank you for rejuvenating me, energizing me, strengthening me. My life is in my hands continually. Help me. Verse 9, bet. How would a young man cleanse his path? To guard it according to your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Let me not stray from your commands. I have treasured up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yehovah. Teach me your laws. You're asking him to teach me your laws. What have we been doing for the past 6 years? He's been teaching us his laws. It's unlearned. We're unlearned in it. We didn't know. We were taught something that we didn't know that we had. But we asked, if there's something we're not seeing, open our eyes, open our ears to it. And guess what? He did. He says, what verse was I on? With my lips I have recounted all the right rulings of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your witnesses as over all riches. I meditate on your orders and regard your ways. I delight myself in your laws. I do not forget your word. Gimel. And if you notice in Psalms 119, all the alphabet is in there. And it's all the numbers. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's in your Bible. In Psalms 119. When you open up your Bible and read it, as you read Psalms 119, you learn the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, One, two, three, four, five. And you just keep going through them as you keep reading them. And before you know it, with repetition, not only are you learning how to pray and talk to Father and ask Him to refill you, strengthen you, keep me, don't cast me away like David did, like Solomon did. And you learn. He says, do good to your servant. Let me live, and I'll guard your word. Open my eyes that I might see wonders from your Torah. Have we seen wonders from his Torah? And we're constantly seeing wonders from his Torah. I am a sojourner in the earth. Do not hide me. Hide your commands from me. His commands can be hidden. It says that. His commands can be hidden. My being is crushed with longing for your right rulings at all times. You rebuke the proud and cursed ones who are straying from your commands. Remove from me reproach and scorn, for I have observed your witnesses. Though princes sat speaking against me, your servant meditates on your laws. And your witnesses also my delight and my counselors. Dalit, my being has been clinging to the dust. And it is. In the world, it's like being in the dust. It's dark out there. It tries to get on you. And so in the morning, and with your Torah portions and learning, and with Shabbat, spending the whole day with Him, when the first day of the week comes, second day of the week comes, you're strengthened, you're empowered, you're rolling with whatever Torah portion you're on and learning as you're counting to Shavuot. We're counting the Omer down to Shavuot. This is our last Shabbat coming up, and then day one is Shavuot. And every day we're reading Psalms 119. And we'll come back and obey His command. We're learning what the seventh day is. The seventh day. We're learning that the seventh day. It's not the first day. And from the beginning in Genesis, everything is counted upon that, what He started with. And if we don't keep that, then we're going to be off track and we're going to be lost. He says, very few find it. Even the very elect can be deceived. Even those that can come before Him and say, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And He's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me. I don't know you. Amen. That's really, really tight. So we need to get this right and start obeying it. And you know what? It's not just for me, and it's not just for any individual, and it's not for God Himself. It's for us. Amen. It's for our own good. It's for our life. Remember that story I told y'all when I was a kid and I went and beat up my pillow that was hanging on the... I loved that pillow and that was for me. I didn't realize what I was doing. We've been beating up the day that we need, the seventh day. We've been putting it away and going with another day and just telling God it's all right. And it's not all right. And He's trying to tell us, hey, you're going to lose your life. You need this day. You need to show up on this day. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You got to come on this day. And then all the rest of them will follow. And we talked about that in boat school and everything, that if you plot a course and you're off just 2 degrees over a long period of time, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. Now, past, I remember telling us we had some homework. And it was based on Psalms 119. But he said, go look up Psalms 19, 1 through 11. Then go read all of Psalms 119. Need my water. And I'm glad he said that, because I take that to heart. He's listening to the Spirit. And it's for our own good. And so I'm going to read Psalms 19. This helped me out. It's little nuggets that he throws at us. And it's for our own good, and it really helps. Psalms 19, 1 through 11. The heavens are proclaiming the esteem of El. And when I say El, that means God, but it's in the Hebrew. And the expanse is declaring the work of His hand. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, and there are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he set up a tent for the sun. You got to read this carefully. I had to read this like 4 or 5 times. He says, in them he set up a tent for the sun. And it's like a bridegroom coming out of his room. It rejoices like a strong man to run the path. And I'm on the boat every morning, and I get to see it every morning. And it does. It comes out with its esteem, with its glory. And there's no man that can stop the sun from being on its course. It's bright, and the Torah clearly says to those who obey the commands, the sun brings healing in its wings. But to those who disobey, it can bring damage. The sun can bring damage to those who disobey his commands. So it's got a positive and a negative to it, depending on what we do with the Torah. He says, if you obey me, he says, you have great reward. But if you disobey the Torah and break it, you're going to have curses and bad things come against you. But thinking about the sun, with his words, he spoke it into existence. And we're out there on that boat, we see it come with its glory and its esteem. And it gives heat that no one can escape. And that's what it says. It says, its rising is from one end of the heaven, from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end. And nothing is hidden from its heat, right? The Torah, then he goes to talk about the Torah. The Torah, the word of Yehovah, the Torah is perfect, bringing back the being. So the words that were spoken in prayer and asking can bring a being back to life. Prayer, petition, asking through the word. And he only listens to what he says. It's not a made up, not added to, not taken away from. So get this correct. He even said, he said, I listen to him, but this one I don't listen to because he doesn't speak my words. That's what he says. And the Torah is perfect, bringing back the being. The witness of Yehovah is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The orders of Yehovah are straight, rejoicing the heart. The command of Yehovah is clear, enlightening the eyes, and the fear of Yehovah is clean, standing forever. The right rulings of Yehovah are true, they are righteous altogether, and they're more desirable than gold or money, than much fine gold, and sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Also, your servant is warned by them, in guarding them, there is great reward. So in this whole chapter, even talking about the sun, how it's been set up by his word, it's all talking about the Torah. And then when you go through Psalms 119, it's all talking about the Torah. And there was a certain verse in Psalms 119, verse 109, that we just talked about a minute ago. It says, my life is in my hand continually, and your Torah I have not forgotten. So it can be forgotten. We have to remind ourselves, our life is in our hands every morning and every evening. We got to be reminded, Shabbat, seventh day. We got to be reminded, we got many, many other days, his feast days, they're commanded to show up and be there. Okay? So again, we're understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes, and we in Baha'alaka. I got a couple more scriptures to read. Go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I'm just kind of going over some things that was talked about. Pastor talked about Friday and Saturday in the Torah portions. He mentioned these, Micah 6, 8. He has declared to you, O man, what is good. And what does Yehovah require of you? But to do right. To do right. That's obeying his commands. That's doing right. To love. To ahava. Love. Ahava, loving commitment. Commitment. Being committed. No matter what happens, we're not going to sidetrack and leave out on God, because he won't leave us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll love you unconditional with the agape. I'll love you no matter what happens. I'll always be with you to the end. Whatever we decide, He'll love us to the end. And to walk humbly with your Elohim. To walk humbly with your Elohim. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. So if we want to please our Father and want to know what He likes, read those and let's apply those. That's what He loves. We don't want to disappoint Him. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is Yeshua speaking. Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your beings, for my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. I want to reflect back on last week's Torah portion on just two slides on burden. I learned a little bit more about burden rather than burden just being a burden. It's got a positive and a negative in it, according to the commentary and the Hebrew meaning of it. Like we've been learning, a lot of English words, when we look up the Hebrew, has a lot more meaning to it than just that little English word. And some of them have been changed to not even meaning what it says, have totally changed the Hebrew meaning of what it says. Like we've learned moed, moedim. The English word in the King James is seasons. And people look at it as being fall, winter, spring, you know, the four seasons. But it's moed, moedim. It's appointed times. He set up appointed times. And it's on the seventh day was an appointed time for a certain reason. And so just like this word burden, I'm not going to go back to those slides, but I'm going to read the two slides that stuck out to me the most. Bearing burdens. We see the use of the English word burden being used in describing what part of the service of the priesthood entails. Often a burden is seen as a negative thing. However, this is not always the case. Because to me, since I've been learning everything in church since I was young, burden was always to me like a heavy load. A bondage almost feeling. It's a burden. Whew, that's a heavy burden that he had to carry. It's a heavy burden. But through this Torah portion, I've learned that a burden's got a positive. Let me explain before I finish reading this. When I learned how to charter fish, I got excited about it, but I didn't realize how many responsibilities and tasks and things I had to learn to get there to being what I am today. I didn't know I was going to have to get up that early in the morning. I didn't know I was going to have to go to school and learn the tides, and it's a lot of responsibility. I had to write it down because there's so many different things pertaining to it. Just on a fishing trip, you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's a choice. It depends on how much fish you want to catch, which fish you want to catch, or you can just be easy about it and not get up that early in the morning. It just depends on your preference, what you want to do as a charter captain. Everybody has their own preference of what they want to do, what they want to bring to the table. 2 o'clock in the morning, you have preps. You have to make sure your boat was clean from the day before. You have to ice it up. You have to get all your poles ready. You're thinking about the tides, where you're going to go to catch these fish. Handling the seas, watching the weather, making good decisions. You're a stream seamstress. You're cutting and tying lines. You're a weatherman. You're a fish cleaner. You're a boat cleaner. It's a huge burden. But there's a positive. It's a positive burden. I can't wait to get up to do that. I'm excited. I'm excited when I'm scrubbing my boat because I'm thinking about the people I'm going to have the next day. I want them on a clean boat. I want them on a clean boat, what I'm going to be representing, who I'm going to be representing. I'm not just some guy in the world, you know. I'm supposed to be representing Jesus. I'm supposed to be representing Yeshua, my Messiah. Is this what He's like? I got to clean my boat. I got to get it ready for my customers when they come on board. You know, it's a huge responsibility. It's a heavy burden. But it's in a positive. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get up 2 o'clock in the morning to make sure I got all those baits, because I want to see them enjoy bringing in all those certain fish that I want to catch at those certain times. And I don't care how much of a pile I got on the deck or how many fish I got to clean, because I care about them. I'm focused on them. I want them to have a good time. I'm thinking about my neighbor. I'm thinking about them. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about them. And at the end of it, when I see their joy, I see their excitement, that burden to me is a positive. It's a positive burden. It's not a negative. Maybe certain people just take it as a job. All right, we're just getting on, get up early, let's hurry up and get this over with, get the people on the boat, catch some fish, and just go home. That's a negative burden. But there's a positive burden. And it's the same thing with a doctor. A doctor spends his whole life to become a doctor, from what I've understood and seen. They go to college. They got a lot of responsibility. I remember one doctor, Dr. Mike Robichaux, I remember many a days him telling me stories of him almost going off the highway, half falling asleep. He loves what he does, and he can't wait to get there and sew up somebody, take care of somebody. He just loves it, and it's a positive. It's a big burden, but it's in a positive. So it says, often a burden is seen as a negative thing, however, it's not always the case. The definition of a burden can be used to describe something that is carried, a load, and referring to like a cargo ship carrying tons of cargo. It can also be defined as one's duty or responsibility. And in a negative sense, it can also give reference to something that is worrisome and oppressive. When we understand the correct application of this Hebrew word used here, we see that these burdens were not oppressive and worrisome in nature, but rather were the duty and responsibility required of each. See? The Hebrew root word that is used here for bearing burdens was masa, H4853, which means bear, carry, support, tribute, which is carried or brought, a load, lifting. And this word comes from the primitive root verb nasa, Strong's H5375, which we have already looked at the start of this Torah portion, which has the meaning to lift, carry, take, accept, bring forth, or born. So another thing, like Brother Scott talked about, you come here and cut the grass, it could be in a negative. Oh, I got to cut the church grass. Or you can't wait to get here because it's the Father's grass, it's His house, and it's going to be representing people that's going to be pulling in the parking lot. And I'll be honest with you, it's been a while since I've cut the grass. I could tell you that there was a time that the lawnmower was all in shape, it was all working, we was all taking our turns cutting grass. There was a time right after Hurricane Katrina that I was the only one cutting the grass. But it wasn't a burden to me. It was a positive burden because there was a lot of Amish coming here and they were all taking care of things. I was doing my part, they were doing their part. And then through time, the lawnmower got old, it got messed up, Brother Eddie started doing it. And he didn't think it was a bad negative burden. He's doing it as a positive. And he loved cutting the grass. And maybe he still loves cutting the grass. I don't know if he's still cutting the grass or not. But I need to get it with the program and start getting with everybody and see what's going on with the lawnmower, what needs to be done, because I want to get back in the routine of cutting the grass. And I ask everybody to forgive me for not being in the routine of cutting the grass. I haven't been cutting the grass in a long time. I've been seeing everybody else do it, and I apologize for that. But I'm pretty sure we're going to have a meeting pretty soon about the lawnmower, and I want to get on board and start helping cut the grass again. And so, burden in the Hebrew mindset, like a ship, carrying cargo, we carry the load of our responsibility in which Yehovah gives us the strength and power and obedience to carry and find full shalom at the end of each carrying, bringing life to other people. Remember, it's going to bring life to somebody else. Remember, in Proverbs 11:30 and 31, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is winning lives is wise. See, the righteous and the earth shall be rewarded. How much more the wrong and the sinner? So you got the positive side, you'll be winning souls. And on the negative side, you're bringing people to death. So the load and the burden we carry is giving life to someone else. The load and responsibility of Yeshua. Let's think about that one for a minute. Think about the load that Yeshua took.
Amen. Yes.
He took a huge load. And he didn't back down. And because he did that, you and I have a chance to live today. We have a chance to get rid of all the sin off our life and start applying the Torah to our life and come alive. Now we can read Psalms. And then we obey the command. And we obey the command. It brings life to us. The command is a life to us. Even Proverbs says, Torah, she personified, she is your life. She is your life. Don't throw her away. You need her. She is your life. And that's what the living Torah, Yeshua said, I'm going to die for you so you can have it, so I can give you life. And he took it all the way to the cross, and he died for us so that we could have life and life more abundantly. He took a load. He took a load. And no matter what the disciples said or anybody tried to woo him in a different direction, he had his mind set to do what his father said. He didn't deviate from it, and he accomplished it. And he said, you and I can too. I did it. You in a dark world, you can do it too. You can do it too. He says, and in me, nothing shall be too hard for you. Nothing. And he still has a load. He prayer intercessors for every person on this whole entire earth every day and every night. So when I make some mistakes, he's prayer intercessing for me. John chapter 8, verse 12. And this is something I've held tight, and I'm never going to forget it when Pastor brought this up. I didn't see it like that till he brought it. He said, therefore, Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of life. And when he said that, that went through every fiber of my being. He says, you possess the light of life. You have a big responsibility. You possess the light of life. Amen. When you go out into the world and you hem-hawing around and doing your own thing in the darkness, you're holding life from somebody. You got to bring them life every day. When you wake up in the morning, when you disobey his commandments and break them, you're bringing death to somebody else. He said, you possess the light of life. You possess the light of life. And that, I wake up to that. I'm on the boat to that. And I'm thinking about that. I got to keep myself straight because I possess the light of life. I was drowning. I was dying in this world, dying never to come back. Never to come back. Once I die, it's over with. There's no more future for Chad Rudolph. It's over. But Yeshua came and said, hey, I died for you that you can have life. I'm going to rescue you. Here. Here's Torah. Do these portions. This is the time you meet with me. This is the times. This is what you do. And now you possess the light of life. You do what I did. You bring them home. The lost tribes of Israel are there. You are a lost tribe of Israel. And so when I wake up in the morning, I say, I thank you, Father, the lost tribes of Israel, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Yehuda. I thank you for opening up their eyes, open up their ears, let their eyes see, let their ears hear, wherever they are, whatever tribe, wherever they are. Bring us back together all the way till Yeshua comes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I wake up to that. I used to do each individual in here, but I'm like, I'm going to do this broad. I thank you for all of us, all of them, and the foreigner and the sojourner alike. Those like Ruth. Remember Ruth and Naomi? Ruth was a Moabite. She was one of the ones that wasn't even in. And she came in. She says, my guy shall be your guy. Where you go, I go. Where he goes, I go. And she fell in love with that one. And then in return, Boaz, he marries her. Hello, we got Yeshua. We got Yeshua. And each and every one of us get to participate in this and be, you possess the light of life. Who knows? Maybe in your journey one day, you have somebody on their deathbed, just like my brother Shane here, and you get to pray and assess for them and keep them from from dying and shortening their life, and they get to expand their life a whole lot longer. You possess the light of life. Keep that in mind. Don't forget that. I'm going to go to slide 14. Matthew 5, 14, 16. It was right here. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heavens. And Pastor talked about that too. There's many in the churches today that they come to church, but yet they go out in the world and it's like they're hiding it under a basket. They don't want to share it with nobody and kind of blending with everybody else, kind of afraid. What is the purpose? What are you doing? You're supposed to possess the light of life. You're supposed to be giving somebody life. You might as well just go back to doing what you was doing before, be lost in the world in the darkness if you're going to hide it. He says, let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heavens. These words of our Master Yeshua Messiah are words we need to carefully consider as we earnestly seek to serve Him in spirit and truth, making sure that we are shining the light of His truth continually and consistently as we do our utmost to properly reflect His truth in our daily lives before all. We as taught ones, disciples of Messiah, are the light of the world. This is certainly a wonderful thing indeed, yet comes with a very clear responsibility, and that is to shine continually. We got to continually keep oil in our lamp to keep it burning. We got to constantly keep looking. Our flesh is constantly wanting to do what it wants to do. We're in a constant battle and a war. But if we're staying in the Torah, staying practiced up, and living and obeying His commands, the flesh will be stayed down and at ease. But if we relax for a little while, start playing around. What had happened to them when they was in the wilderness? They sat down to eat, drink, and play. You play for a little while and set this on the sidelines for an evening, a morning, a day, a 2 days, and you say, I'm all right. I got yesterday's word. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. The enemy will sideblind you so fast your head wouldn't be able to spin. It comes really quick, and it's a deception. And you think you're okay, but you're not okay. He says, you'll be blind again. You won't be able to see. So it takes getting the word, repenting. It's called teshuvah. You teshuvah, you repent. Teshuvah means to turn from the way you're going and go back from which way you was going towards the Torah again. Go back the way you was going. Quit going the opposite direction. Quit following your flesh. If you sow to the flesh, what you going to reap? Corruption. You're going back to death. You keep going in the opposite direction. Before you know it, you'd be like a dog lapping up its own vomit again. Amen. You think you're okay. You think you're all right. But in your heart, you feel it. Don't lie to yourself. You know you feel it. It squeezes you. Every time I'm going in error, I'm lacking, I feel it. It squeezes you in your gut. And it pulls. And it just pulls on you. It feels like it's pulling on your throat down in there. And you keep trying to avoid it with other things. And you keep using fleshly things and things that's desired by the flesh to keep you entertained, to cover it up. But it leads to worse and worse and worse, and it leads you into the place where, like the prodigal, he come to a realization, hey, it's really good over there, and I'm over here eating a pig slop. I'm back in the hole again where I was before, where the Father pulled me out of. I need to go back. I need to go back. And so when he came back, what did the Father do? Agape. He loved him. He met him right where he was. He put a robe on his back, a ring on his finger. A lot of us, we count those people out after the third or fourth time. We're learning agape. It's not an easy thing. I'm learning it. I got a lot to learn. It's a very tough thing. But he said, hey, little by little, I'm going to tear out of you the things that don't belong and put the Torah in your heart. And you're going to learn to love like I love. And it's not easy because your mind is habited one way. And we got to get it out. And it takes time. It takes time to learn all this stuff. And so little by little, you start learning all these Hebrew words, all this language, his likes and his dislikes. and you realize it in your life, and you start applying it, and it's working, and it's working. But it takes consistency and over and over and over. Shabbat's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It is the foundation. And lo and behold, now I know it's the foundation. It's the thing that's going to keep me through the toughest times that are coming. The Greek word that is translated as light in Matthew 5:14 is phos, which means light, fire. I didn't want to get into this. We talked about this. I just wanted to finish it off on that is to shine continually. We'll move on to slide 35. But you mentioned a slide before that, Brother Scott. I needed to mention that. Slide 31, was it? Or 2? 32. Through the work of Messiah, we are now in Him, set up on a lampstand that is able to shine to all of those in the house. The purpose of the lampstand was to give its light in front of it in order that the table of showbread would be lit. On the showbread table, we know that there were the 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and the lampstand would bring light to the table within the set-apart place. And it through the work of Messiah, our high priest, that we are set free from darkness and our eyes are open to be set free from sitting in the dark, now having the light of His truth available for us to walk in as revealed through His life, death, and resurrection and ascension. And so Isaiah 42:6-7, I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness, and I take hold of your hand and guard you and give you for a covenant to a people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. So we've got a big responsibility. I know y'all feel it like I feel it sometimes. It's like you're in it, and then all of a sudden you're wanting to go your way sometimes. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, how can I explain it? It's like you had to die to yourself, and Yeshua had to die to Himself and live for the Father, and He can only obey His words and do what He said. And there's a lot of times we want to do what we want. That's what I'm getting at. There's a lot of schedules that we have, and a lot of times we want to do it the way we want. And He keeps saying, no, this one's going to weigh you down. No, this one has got to go because I got some other people ahead. You're going to miss them. You're going to miss them. And so there's a lot of things in our schedule. It squeezes. It gets rid of some things. Squeezes, and it gets rid of some things. And for a while, you think you're okay, but you're trying. Hey, let me tell you something. This is a big responsibility, doing these Torah portions, studying them. It takes a lot of your time. And so when I first started, I was like doing a little bit and just going by what Pastor was reading. And then later on, you do a little bit more, but it wasn't enough. And then you have to start looking at certain things in your schedule and just put them down. You can't do that. You got to put that on the side. Put this day on the side. Put this time on the side because you don't have enough. You need more. And so you start doing that. Not only was it like a responsibility or like a little bit of a burden, but it starts working in your life, bringing you to light to some things that you never seen before. You're like, oh, I never seen that before. So you're studying and you're researching and you're not understanding, and then all of a sudden you're understanding. You're coming to light of it. Oh, and then the next Torah portions, a year later, we learn that. Oh, I never seen that before. Look at that. And so that's just how it continues. And the menorah, we talked about, it has a base and a shaft with 6 branches attached to it. So when you look at this, the middle one would represent Yeshua. This would be Jesus. This would be Yeshua. And these are the branches. This would be us. This would be us. Yeah. Let me finish reading. It says, with 6 branches attached to the middle shaft, 3 branches on one side and 3 branches on the other. and is a picture of how we are joined to Messiah and that we are the branches. Remember, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So if we have a Bible and we go to a church and we only read Matthew to Revelation, we are only getting to hear him say, I am the vine, you are the branches. But if you start in the beginning of your book and you learn about what that is, then you understand what he's talking about when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, by knowing what a menorah is, by looking through Hebrew eyes, through the Hebrew perspective. It was written to a Hebrew people. The Torah was written to the Hebrew people. So if you're just looking at it from a Western mindset, you won't understand what he's talking about when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The ornamental knobs, the blossoms, and almond-like flowers remind us that we are to bear fruit that will last. They don't have them on this one, but there's blossoms that come out. Let me show you. It's right here. See the blossoms that come out? It says the ornamental knobs, blossoms, and almond-like flowers remind us that we are to bear fruit that will last. And he said, remember, there's good trees and there's bad trees. You can bear good fruit or you could bear bad fruit. So bear good fruit. John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you're able to do nothing. I told my wife today, I said, since I started in this, I can't make it without his word, without his Torah. This is the oil for my lamp to keep it burning. If we break off and quit following, quit reading, he says, I'll cut you off. He can cut you off. If you get cut off from this, guess where you go back to? To death. You have no more life. He's the light. He is the life. Yehovah, in the beginning, in creation, God created the heavens and the earth. Not me. Not man. I didn't make myself. He did. And he made it to function a certain way. And there was a tree in the garden. And he said, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch that one. The day you go and touch that one, you shall surely die. Not maybe, you would die. And so they went and grabbed from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now, guess what? We're surrounded in a world that's nothing but the knowledge of good and evil. And we need to learn how to live in it and get out of it and live the way it was before that happened, where it was pure life, eternal life, with no death in it at all. There was no death in it. There was no sin. It wasn't tainted at all. It was pure. It was in the image of God, in the image of Yehovah, in his image and his likeness. Pure Ahava, love, agape. There was no death in it at all, no hatred, no wickedness, no evil. But the minute they partook, they broke it, death came. And their life went away. They died, and they're dead still today. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you're not able to do anything. And that's what I tell them a lot of times. If I mess up, or it's just the middle of the day, I say, Father, without you, I can't do anything. I need your word. I got to continue to stay in your word. At the top of the shaft and on each of the six branches was a bowl which held oil in a wick. The oil came from olives and was extracted from the fruit by crushing. As we have discussed in the previous Torah portions, again, we're reminded of Yeshua's suffering. Yeshua was crushed. The living Torah was crushed to make the pure olive oil, to make the pure oil. Oil in Scripture is often used to represent the symbolic picture of the presence and the anointing of his spirit. So when Aharon would come up here, he would have to trim off all these wicks so the pure oil can come and make it burn. If these aren't, I've done this at my house. I've tried to light them without them being cut. They kind of flicker and they don't make it very long. It needs to be clean and pure wicks ready for the oil to come in and keep them burning. And so that's what the pure word represents. And as we repent and we keep getting rid of sin, and reading and applying and obeying his commands, And the oil, it keeps our lamp burning. Here it shows you that when you are crushed and allow the Spirit to fill and use you, it brings out the best in you so that you can shine the light of His presence. As many times we wrestle with something when it isn't going our way. It doesn't go our way, and for some reason, our mind is unsettled, and we're getting angry, and it's just not the characters of Yehovah. And it's got to come out of us. And so we learn the Word, and we repent, and we keep working on taking those things away. And before you know it, you learn to be patient. You learn to be gentle. You learn to be kind. You learn to be long-suffering. That's the pure oil that keeps our lamp burning. Not the flesh. We've got to get rid of the habits of the flesh. The lampstand was the only source of light in the set-apart place. So that's how you become a light. You living out the Torah, you possess the light of life. So when you're obeying it, being love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and self-control in front of other people, your light is shining in the darkness. Your light is shining just like that in the darkness. It was lighting up all the bread. There was two stacks, six on this side and six on this side. It represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The lampstand was the only source of light in a set-apart place. Yehovah had commanded Moshe to make it so that the lamps would point towards the table of showbread. The menorah also pictures for us the Word, as it says in Psalms 119:105. Look at that. Your Word is a lamp to my feet. And Pastor showed us how you pick up the menorah and it's lit. Just like you go in a dark place with a flashlight. You want to make sure there's no creeping things jumping out at you in there. You go and look around and make sure it's safe and sound. You can laugh all you want to. I could play with a snake or a roach. I mean a snake or a spider. But if I come around a roach, one of them big ones that fly, son, I'm out of there. I don't like those things. They're nasty. They're creepy. I don't know what it is. I can play with some dangerous stuff, but a roach, I don't like roaches. And if I'm somewhere with a light and I see one, I'm going the other way. I don't like them. I hate them. But the menorah is a light in the dark world. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I confirm to guard your righteous right rulings. I have been afflicted very much. O Yehovah, revive me according to your Word. And every day we've got to live with this flesh. We'll continually be revived if we stay in His Word. Every day, day and night. And obey His commands. Remember the three Hebrew words? Shema, hear. Shemar, guard. Nasa, do. Amen. Who said that? Do. Amen. Do. Shema, Shemar, and Nasa. Hear, guard, and do, and you'll stay shining. You are witnesses of my inheritance forever, for they are the joy of my heart. And they are. They're the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to do your laws forever to the end. Your commands or your instructions is a better term. The seven lights of the menorah also picture for us the seven feasts. It's all sevens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. God's pretty smart. He taught us in the beginning how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6 days you shall work. On the seventh day you shall do no work. Amen. Feast days. All the feast days are right there. All seven. Everything is right there on the menorah. Shine right before us to remind us. It says, the seven lights of menorah also picture for us the seven feasts of Yehovah that is critical for us as His body to be keeping as it reveals His wonderful plan of redemption to which we walk in the light as children of light. And we also know that the lampstand in Revelations speaks of the seven assemblies, seven churches. That is the fullness of His body among whom he walks in the midst of. The Hebrew word for lampstand is menorah, Strong's H4501, which simply means lampstand. However, what we realize and recognize is that the lampstand speaks of the Messiah being the branch, with us being the branches, as also pictured through the parable of the vine and the branches. And without him, we're unable to bear fruit or shine the light of his truth. Remember, we got to be yoked up to him. And if we become unyoked, we become unattached to where the source is. We're connected to the source, yoked up to him. And I know a lot of times it's a struggle. We want to go this way and he's pulling us that way. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I've been praying that. I've been saying, Yeshua, help me stay yoked up to you. I know there's some things I want to do. I said, I got some things coming up here, some things I'm learning. We learned about the Shemitah, and there's a lot of things I have questions about. But I said, Father, we made it this far. There was a lot of heavy things that came along the way, and we trusted in you and made it this far. And you know, we may feel like we're behind or whatever, but I know you're going to take care of us if we listen and obey. And then I was talking to the pastor the other day. He said, yeah, you know, if you show him you're going to put in and you're going to participate, and it seems like you're kind of lacking when the drought comes, he'll put somebody in your life that, who knows, maybe they might have a big old strawberry orchard. Say, hey, come get all the strawberries you want. But if you ain't doing nothing, don't expect the strawberry orchard to come. Don't expect somebody to be coming to help you to your rescue if you're not putting in at all. You got to be showing yourself approved. Show yourself approved. And he knows everything. He doesn't forget. He sees what we do on a daily basis. So we're only fooling ourselves if we think we're going to be all right and we're playing around and not really pushing and putting forth any effort to do anything. Which simply means lampstand. However, what we realize and recognize is that the lampstand speaks of Messiah being the branch, with us being the branches, also pictured through the parable of the vine and the branches. And without him, we're unable to bear fruit or shine the light of his truth. When one looks at the early script, I know we've been, I'm not sure if we went through this already, but I had to go through it again. It's pretty incredible to see the menorah in the pictograph meanings of it. It's pretty incredible. And you know, prior to this, I learned about Mem and the water being chaos, but I never seen it the way he put it in this time. It's like the unknown and like the way I see the seas. When I'm out there at the end of the pass down there today, a South Pass by the rocks, and those big sharks are coming out the water, and one day we've seen that big old manta ray come out. You look out way out there, they got a big ocean out there that's unknown. There's things that people have never seen. It's incredible. It's unknown. It's chaos. Mem means more to me now since it was described this way and it's ever meant before. We're looking into the Torah, the unknown, that we haven't even got to things yet. We're just discovering. And it's so far out there. It's exciting. It's a journey that never ends. In the early script, the Hebrew word menorah looks like this. The Mem, the Nun, the Vav, the Resh, and the He. Mem, the ancient script, this letter as water, and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea, and can also picture that which is mighty or massive, or as well as the unknown. As well as the unknown. We are also able to understand this letter as representing the nations, for the nations are often likened to the seas in Scripture. Nun. This is the letter Nun, which is the ancient text is pictured as, which is a sprouting seed, and gives the idea of continuation or an offspring or an heir. Speaking of that which sprouts forth will be heir of promise or continuation and represents one's life expectancy. Vav. The ancient pictograph form of this letter is Vav, which is a peg or a tent peg or a nail. You see what I was talking about earlier? I was sharing with Shane earlier how we look at each letter in the Hebrew represents something which is used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of it having a Y shape is to show that it represents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook. Resh. The ancient script has this letter as the head of a man, and has the meaning of the head of a man as well as a chief, top, beginning, or first. Top is in the top or head of a body, and the chief as the head of a tribe or people as well as the one who rules the people. Hey, the ancient script has this letter as hey, as a man standing with his arms raised up and out and pointing to something. And in essence, carries the meaning of behold, as in when looking at something very great. It can also have the meaning to breathe or sigh, as when looking at a great sight and having your breath taken away, so to speak. It also has the meaning of revelation or to reveal something by pointing it out. When we look at these letters, we can see an awesome picture of how the lampstand clearly speaks of Messiah, our high priest and the head of the body. In the Hebraic mindset, water represents not only physical water, but also chaos from the storms of the sea. To the Hebrews, the sea was a feared and unknown place. You see that? To the Hebrews, the sea was a feared and an unknown place. For this reason, this letter, Mem, is used as a question word. Who, what, when, where, or why, and how, in the sense of searching for an unknown. And that's incredible. The letter Nun, the sprouting seed, gives the idea of continuation or an offspring or an heir. Speaking of that which sprouts forth will be the heir of the promise of continuation. And the Vav, representing a tent peg or a nail or hook, has the meaning to secure or add. And the Resh is a picture of a head of a man, which speaks of headship or beginning or first. The hay is pictured as a man with his hands raised in the air and carries the meaning of behold, as in when looking at something very great, and can also mean to breathe, sigh, when looking at a great sight, and can also give the meaning of revealing, revelation from the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. When putting the construct of these pictures together and understanding the work and ministry of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus, our high priest, we can see the following being declared through the power and presence of the lampstand in the set-apart place. And this is what it is. This is what menorah means in the Hebrew. Out of the chaos, a seed shall spring forth. The Son, who is the appointed heir of all, who by his death and resurrection has secured for us the covenants of promise to which we have been added through his blood, and Messiah, our head, remember the Resh, is the beginning. And behold, we fix our eyes on him as we await for the revelation, as hey, the revelation of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the light of the world. You see that? Through one Hebrew word that you cannot get through just one English word. You have to see it through Hebrew eyes. Now I want to move on to 66. This is the cleansing of the Levites. 65, starting with 65. So the lampstand was made according to the pattern. You see that word pattern? That's an important word to remember, because everything is done in God's pattern. The lampstand was made according to the pattern that was shown to Moshe. Remember we talked about it wasn't just Moshe's words. Who spoke to Moshe? God did. Yehovah spoke to Moshe. It was his words that were spoken to him according to his pattern. The lampstand was made according to the pattern that was shown to Moshe. And we see, too, that Messiah only did that which he was instructed to do according to the word of Elohim. So we once followed the pattern of what? This world that was leading us where? To eternal death, right? That's a pattern. Yehovah has the perfect pattern how to get us out and show others how to escape it as well through Yeshua. The pattern is in the perfect Torah. Yeshua is the perfect living Torah and the living proof who escaped eternal death, right? He only did what his father told him to do. He never added to it and he never threw any of it away. And so that's how we have the living Torah today, Yeshua, because he didn't add to it. He didn't take from it. He did everything his father told him to do, and he followed the pattern all the way back from what was shown to Moshe. The same exact pattern. The lampstand was made according to the pattern that was shown to Moshe, and we see, too, that Messiah only did that which he was instructed to do according to the word of Elohim. He never deviated from it. And that's his words to us, to not deviate from what he's showing us. Cleansing of the Levites, Numbers 8:5. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and you shall cleanse them. And do this to them to cleanse them. Keep, that's why it's highlighted. Keep in mind when you're reading, cleanse them. The word cleanse. Sprinkle water of sin offering on them, and they shall shave, and they shall shave all their body, and shall wash their garments, and cleanse themselves. And shall take a young bull with his grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, while you take another young bull as a sin offering. Cleansed. In verse 6, the Hebrew word that is translated as cleansed, comes from the root word teher. Teher. So think about that. The Hebrew word for cleanse is teher. H2891. It means the following. To be clean, to cleanse, to purify, made clean, properly, to be bright, to be pure, that is physically sound, clear, unadulterated, morally innocent, to be purged, purify, to declare something or someone clean. He's trying to get us back to where it was when Adam and Eve was first, back in his likeness and his image, pure, clean, in his likeness and in his image. It is his word that makes us clean. His word is a mirror. When we look into the mirror, we see our reflection of ourselves, of what we need to cleanse, what we need to cleanse and get rid of to reflect him. It shows us our flaws. It shows us our wrongs we need to fix and correct. This is the time. This is the day. This is the way you should act. This is the way you should love. This is the way you should forgive. Cleanse yourself. It is his word that makes us clean as we cleanse ourselves daily through the washing of his word. It is he who makes us clean, really clean, by his blood. His blood is the pure Torah, untainted Torah. He's the living Torah. The word teher, H2891, is also used in Leviticus 16:19, where the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sin offering on the horns of the altar, and all around seven times. There's the number seven again. The number seven, as we know, signifies perfection. And so there is a perfect cleansing, and our perfect reconciliation is by the blood of Yeshua. We, as a set apart and royal priesthood, now have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves through the cleansing which he has provided. Hebrews 9:11. Now we're going to the New Testament. We're going to the Brit Hadishah. Hebrews 9:11-14, but Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good matters through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, entered into the most set apart place once for all, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. Our Messiah, my Lord, did it once and for all, and now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Amen. Yes. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the fire. Now, I've had people on the boat ask me the other day, we had a long talk. He said, so you obey all 600 and something laws and commands in the Bible? I said, most of them, yeah, except the ones where you had the sacrifice, lambs, rams, bulls, because my Messiah did that for me already. And it kind of leaves them at a standstill. He said, so you don't eat those unclean foods? I said, no, I don't, because he commanded me not to. He never did away with those. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. And it took me some time to get used to those. There's many people that still don't obey them. There's people that are still having a problem with them and still working on it. That's okay. I still got lots of things I'm working on. I'm still in the same boat with you, buddy. I'm working on things to get rid of my life of learning to love people like he loves people. Getting over things that I'm having a tough time trying to get over. But I'm going to get through it. And I'm going to learn it. It's going to make me or break me. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the defile sets apart for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? It is through the one-time atoning sacrifice of Messiah that we will tehar, his bride. What is tehar? Cleanse. Cleanse. Aharon was told to cleanse the Levites. See, this is a picture of what was to come. It couldn't happen there, but it was a picture, a foreshadow of what was to really come, what Messiah would do for us. They couldn't complete it, but they did it in demonstration of what was to be performed through Messiah to today. Aharon was told to cleanse the Levites, and so too do we see that it is our high priest. And remember, there was a time was going to come that the Messiah was going to be inspected to see if he was the real Messiah or not. Because he had to do all these things that were done. He had to perform them all. He had to be tested and checked to see if that's who he really was, according to the Torah. Because they say, hey, many's going to come in my name and say, hey, he's the Messiah over here. Hey, he's the Messiah over there. He's done this, he's done that, and say many, many things. Well, we got to test it. Where we check it at? Where do you go? You go to the Torah. That's where it's at. Let's check it. Let's test it. I don't see that say anything about that one. That's not my Messiah. That's not him. That's not even his name. I don't see that in here. I see his name means this. That name I don't recognize. This I recognize. That I don't recognize. The high priest did this or that. He's my high priest. I recognize that. You got to check it with the Torah. The word tahar, H2891, carries great insight for us as we understand that a derivative of this word is tahara. Do you see what we're getting at? Cleanse. We're getting closer to this word from tahar to tahara. What is this? This is the Torah. What does the Torah do? It's going to cleanse us. It's cleansing us from wickedness and unrighteousness in our way. A way that seems right to a man, it ends up in death. Remember that? Carries great insight for us as we understand a derivative of this word is tahara, Strong's H2893, which means cleansing and purifying. As we look at the Hebrew word tahara, H2893, we see a wonderful picture in this word alone that speaks of our need to come to Messiah. He's the living Torah who cleanses us from all sin. Why I say this is because when we look at the ancient symbols of these letters, we get a clear picture of this very message of this Torah of cleansing contained in just one word. The word tahara, H2893, read from right to left of the letters tet, he, resh, and he. Written in the ancient pictograph script, we see the message very clearly. Let me show you the original pictograph of these letters are as follows. Tet is a container made of a wicker or clay. You know, a basket that was made of wicker or clay. Containers were a very important item among the nomadic Hebrews. They were used for storing grains and other items. Wicker baskets were used as nets for catching fish. The meanings of this letter are basket, vessel, contain, store, clay vessel. Hey. A man standing with his arms raised out, the modern Hebrew original name of this Hebrew letter, this letter is He. The meaning of the letter is behold, look, breathe, sigh, reveal, revelation, from the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender. As we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. Resh is the head. Of a man, this letter, head of a man, a chief, top, beginning, or first. And then Torah, Strong's H2893, the following message is, we, as clay baskets, come and surrender to him. We raise our hands in acknowledgement of his perfect atonement. We confess our sins of lawlessness before our head and our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. And we put our lives into the hands of him who lifts us up from the miry clay and makes us clean and purifies us from all unrighteousness. See why it's so important that we need Him? He's the door, He's the way, He's the life. Jehovah set Him in charge and put Him in the way so that we can make it back to the Father. Amen. He's going to get us back to the Father in times to come. Corinthians 4:7. We'll wrap this up. Corinthians 4:7. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Do you get it with the clay? Earthen vessel. When you see it from the Hebrew mindset, it gets clearer and clearer, doesn't it? So that the excellence of the... And so when you're reading Corinthians and reading all them, where did they get this from? They got it from the Torah. There was no New Testament back then. There was no Matthew to Revelation. All they had was the Torah. That's what Paul had. That's what Peter had. That's what James had. That's all they had. Shaul. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellence of the power might be of Elohim and not of us. Jeremiah 18:6. O house of Israel, am I not able to do with you as this potter? Declares Jehovah, look, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Remember how Pastor did that demonstration with the clay on spinning on the wheel? He takes the clay and he's spinning, he's got it in his hand, and all of a sudden a pebble's in there and it kind of messes it up. That pebble's got to come out of there, but he reshapes it and forms it. That's what he's wanting to do with us with his Torah. We're in our flesh, we want to have it our way. And he's like, come on, I know it don't feel good, I know you don't like it, but I'm trying to work you out. I'm trying to make you my image and my likeness. And that's what he's referring to. He says, you're the potter, I'm the potter, and you're the clay. You're the vessel, and I want to work with you, but you got to let me. We got to let him. We keep avoiding him many times because we're afraid. Or we're trying to avoid it. We don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of etchy. Because remember, we've never seen any of this. I've never seen Yeshua. I've never seen God. I've never seen any of the disciples. I've never seen Moshe. I've never seen Aharon. All I know is that I read something, and I believe him, and I take him at his word, as real fact, that my flesh don't understand, but I know in my heart that putting it in there has become a reality. And there's some things in his word that I'm reading, that I'm not doing, that I'm learning. You better learn to do this, because there's a storm coming. He said, just like in the days of Noah, there's a storm coming. And they were all laughing. Why are y'all doing Shabbat? What is that? Why are y'all eating clean and unclean? Why are you doing that? And the door closed. And what was funny wasn't funny no more. There's a storm that's coming. And he's warning us ahead of time. And there's many that's going to slightly miss it, but he's going to grace them and say, hey, still forgive them and welcome them in. Love them. Love them. Still love them. Forgive them of their sins. That's what Yeshua did for me. So there's a storm coming. We've got to get our act together here. He says, come out from among them. It says, O house of Israel, I'm not able to do with you as this potter, declares Jehovah. Look, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Job 10:9, remember, please, that you have made me like clay, and would you turn me into dust again? And he could. Numbers 8:9, and you shall bring the Levites before the tent of appointment, and you shall assemble all the congregation of the children of Israel. And you shall bring the Levites before Jehovah, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And we don't have time to get into the laying of the hands. Well, we're getting down on time. Huh? One more minute? Okay. So this has been an incredible 2 days for me. I get to meet my brother Shane, all that he went through. He wasn't supposed to make it. The odds was against him. He gets to share all what he's getting back with his family, what Jesus shared with him, the Lord shared with him to get back his family and start making things right. And we all learn on this end of the world. He's in Georgia. We over here, we learn how to agape. We're trying to learn each other and love each other like the Father loves us. And he's got a journey ahead of him. We got a journey ahead of us. But hey, we got a lot to learn, a lot of places to go and things to do. I'm excited about it. We're still learning the Torah portion. There's a lot to learn in this Torah portion, but like Pastor said, we're not going to get to all of it. We got to get ready for our next Torah portion coming up Friday. I'm excited for that. Amen. Anybody have any prayer requests?
I do.
Yes.